got a gun.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention. Attention.
Government is
an emergency. Repeat, an emergency!
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody!
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap! It's time for
Dutch Jones, Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Here we go. Here we go. I don't know what today's date is, but I'm glad to be back on the air. What's today's date? 28 March 2011, which is also, yesterday was Miss Stacy's birthday, her birthmas, and we instituted a new rule at the church. We had a spanking machine. She broke all the paddles, though. She broke all the paddles. Yes, this is live. I am Dutch Jones. I am alive. I'm doing exceptionally well, considering what happened to me on Tuesday, whatever date that was last week. The 22nd, my mother-in-law's birthday. We're getting ready to go to a mother-in-law's birthday, so I faked a stroke. But I want to thank, I don't even know where to start here. I want to thank everyone that prayed for me, because while I was in the ICU and they had me in critical condition, I was making miraculous recoveries, and it was freaking out the doctors. They're just like, we have no idea. Your clots are disappearing, before they even gave me the medicine. And we had of course, the prayer chain. I'm going to tell a little bit about what happened. Today's show is going to be a little bit about that, because not because it's about me, but because you folks need to be made aware of how these things happen. Now, you may notice first off, there's a little bit of a strangeness in my voice. I have a numb face now, across my lips and my cheek on kind of center to left, but that's going to go away. It was funny because I said, well, what's the therapy for that? And I said, you need to read out loud about 2 hours a day. I said, well, that would be slow for me. So the show will become therapy as I read stuff on the air. And I may forget words now and again, but Lou's here to slap me in the head when that happens, or maybe yell out the word. He's going to be my right-hand man. And I got a little bit of numbness in the leg and sneezing. It's been triggering sneezing. And my left eye, the vision got a little bad in there. If you guys want to see what I look like, you want to turn on the webcam, maybe give me an... Honestly, if you didn't know me before, you wouldn't be able to tell the difference. I get a little bit of a droop in my left side of my face, honestly, but I don't think it's that noticeable. What do you guys think in the chat room? Yeah, I developed a southern accent. I think it's the drooling and the drawling. Stacy hasn't really looked at me yet. She's seeing the picture she's been avoiding looking at me since I got back from the hospital. So, yeah, what's wrong? Why is everybody laughing? That's my picture. The stroke caused me to grow a mullet. And, all kidding aside, go ahead and take it down. I do have a slight droop in my face, but, they say it's really slight. But it'll all come back. It'll come back. I mean, like I said, I was trying to say, you can tell my spirits are really high, and I'll talk about that a little bit too. I was really freaking out the doctors, because they're like, why are you joking and stuff? And I said, it's in God's hands. I said, there's nothing. I said, I appreciate your efforts, and God will guide your hands, but I'm here and I'm happy, you know. It's like, you know, I survived the first stroke, which was a little bit bigger than the second one. If I honestly believe if I was going to die, I'd be dead now, you know. So I made it to the hospital, and they did their thing. I refused some medications, which we'll talk a little bit about later. And Minuteman says I look better now. And it improved my looks, the stroke. But I give it 6 months, and we won't even see it or hear any residualness. I may still have the numbness in my face, but I'll be able to learn to work around that. And I'm still man pretty, but I just don't, I don't want to show you guys what I look like now because, you know, if your wives are in the room, it may cause jealousy or something. One of the things I lost, and I got to tell you the truth with this stroke, I was, you know, you guys know, you were listening. I was kind of bummed, depressed, you know, and angry at the world. I have been in such a good mood since I've had this stroke. It's been a laugh fest. So much so that they sent counselors and social workers to my room to see if I was nuts. Because I was cracking jokes the whole time. And yeah, people need to have more strokes. No, that's not what I'm saying, Lou's like, maybe people need to have more strokes. I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes you take it for what they are, a sign, a symbol. It's just going to make me work harder. They wanted to give me Coumadin. And, you know, of course, those of you that know, Coumadin is rat poison. I talked to El Doctor. I talked to our herbalist friends up here. I talked to my father, who's got cancer, and he was on Coumadin. He said it took his kidneys. They actually removed a kidney. And so I told the doctor, again today, no, I'm not taking Coumadin. And they gave me another blood thinner. What was it called?
I don't know.
The one that they injected in my stomach every 2 hours.
Plavix.
I'm not on any blood thinners right now. They want me on Plavix, but what I've chosen to do is aspirin, because it's made from a tree. And I'm not a health nut freak, you guys know that, but we'll see. Today I went for some more. We'll see if the clotting agents are down in my system, because I'm just going to do aspirin and foods, vitamin K's, and I've been getting so much good information from you folks. So much information from you guys. So we're trying everything. I found out that tomatoes are good, which I love. You know, a lot of things I don't like, but I'd rather eat icky vegetables than have another stroke. So, we'll do that and, we'll fight it that way. So here's what happened. Tuesday morning, we get up to come down and say happy birthday to grandma and get the spanking machine going on what is she, 700 years old now? She's not in the room, so I can say that. I'm a bit feistier. and I, you know, I got out of the shower. I think I finished shaving and doing that kind of stuff, and suddenly, everything in the room became brighter, louder, crispier, and I felt like I was floating about a foot off the ground. And it was the weirdest sensation. I can't even explain it. I've talked to people that have done acid, and it was probably a little bit like that. And the stroke hadn't even hit yet. It was just the what they call a TIA, a transient ischemic attack, which comes usually before a stroke. And I was just, like, freaking out. I was, like, adrenaline, dopamine, and everything just hit my system all at once. And I think that's what the body – and for some reason, Stacy opened the door to give me a shirt or something.
Yeah, cool.
And I guess I looked at her and said, like, who are you? And nobody looked familiar. I remember being, like – it was like being in a nightmare. You know, you get those nightmares where you don't know where you're at. And I still hadn't had the numbness yet. I just had the weird – I would say it's probably close to a panic attack. I've never had one, so I don't know. It's probably like a panic attack, like, hey, where am I? Who are these people? What's going on? Where is everybody? So then they got me into a chair, and as I was sitting there, it hit. And I couldn't move left side of my body from the tip of my toe. It actually started in my pinky finger and the next finger in my left hand and radiated up to the whole hand, and it was almost I could just sense it. It was moving fast. Went into the left side of my body, down to my toes, into my tongue, and I told him, I said, I'm not going to be able to talk here in a minute. I feel it coming. I thought, I'm an EMT. I do this stuff all the time. Completely all that training went out the window because I was the patient. I just was like, man, I'm having some kind of seizure or something. I pinched a nerve. Something's going on here. Didn't even think stroke. And then I couldn't talk for a little bit, and it was, she's starting to cry again. It's okay.
Yeah.
I survived it. It's okay.
I know
I'm making jokes about it, but that's how I, you know, don't, it's okay.
I know, that's how you
But Stacy knew something was wrong, and I couldn't talk, so I guess for about 10 minutes I sat there while we got ready to go, because an ambulance is 45 minutes.
Yeah, it was quicker for me to take
So it was quicker for Stacy to take me to the ER. So we called the pastor first, he prayed for me over the phone, asked if he should come over, I said, no, we're going to go out the door. And I was starting to regain my ability to stand up and all that. It's still numb, but the residual weirdness stayed, the colors and everything. So I called the VA and said, hey, I'm coming in. They said, how far away are you? I go, about 75 miles. And they said, you need to get a anticoagulant into you as soon as possible. You just had a stroke. And I'm like, no way. She's like, yeah, no, this isn't a stroke. I have a pinched nerve or something. I had a seizure. And so I was like, wow. So I said, okay. And she says, and the nurse at the emergency room says, if it happens again, you go to a fire station, you call an ambulance, you get to the close emergency room. So we started driving down. About 20 minutes later, we were in, 20 or 30 minutes later, we were in Visalia, right out in front of the Cahuilla Delta hospital, and it started again. And I said, Stacy, just pull in here. It's starting again. And we got in the ER, and they, you know, hook you up, do all that kind of stuff, you know, EKG. And this, I got needle pokes all over my body, all over my stomach. And what was weird about the whole thing is the whole time I didn't realize how bad it was until afterwards when they took me out of the ICU. And they said, well, now that you're not in critical condition, we're going to put you in another room. And I was like, I was in critical condition? They're like, oh, yeah. So I was like, well, thanks for telling me. They didn't tell Stacy. They didn't tell anybody. I don't know why. I don't know if it's just modern medical. They didn't want Stacy to have a heart attack.
Yeah.
They didn't want Lou to run screaming off into the wilderness. But, no, actually, they did fine. But I was noticing everywhere I went, they had a waterfall picture on my bed, on the room that I was in, on the door. And that was, and rather than writing critical, that's their code for critical and to watch and don't let me get out of bed because they didn't want me to fall down. I was like, it's like secret, what's the word, covert medical. And because I was VA, they're like, well, what's your medical insurance? And I said, the U.S. government. And they went, what? And I said, VA. I said, just call the number that I have here because I've been instructed to come here. And I gave my social security number and my name, and they said, okay, fine. You know, so they go, well, until we stabilize you, you can stay here, but after a certain point, you can go to the VA. And I'm like, no, I'll just stay here, which made the VA mad.
Oh, wow.
But so rapidly, as the prayers were going out, the prayer chain, I don't know when you guys found out. I don't know what – I think it was Tuesday night because it was Tuesday day. I was in my hotel room – or hotel.
Hospital
room. That was a Freudian slip. I wish it felt like I was on vacation. I'm just kidding. And I was going to do the show from the phone, but I got a really bad migraine. And then they brought a dying guy and put him next to me. And I didn't think that'd be cool for his family because it was, you know, it's like a, you know, when they got one nurse watching everybody, they put you all in one big room. But Steve did the show. Lou helped him out. I was a little disappointed. Lou didn't talk. I think it's time for him to talk. I think he'll be fine. But they did a great job. I listened to the show Saturday. Really, really enjoyed it. I posted in the chat room if it's in there somewhere. It's also on the Facebook page, some video from the protest Steve was at. I want to thank Steve. I don't know if he's listening. For all the great things he said, nice things he said. You know, I feel really humbled. And I'm really glad to know I've got backup. Olima did a show. I found that in the archives. I was really happy to see that. And I'm sorry, I should have had plan. I need to give you guys, like, access codes to get into, what do we use now, Ustream? I should give, like, three or four of you guys access codes, and then you guys, I trust you guys. You're part of my extended family. I'm sorry, Olima, I'll get that to you. And then that way, next time this happens, you guys can just do a big old show and talk about the issues that are going on, because the show's not about me. Again, the reason I'm just telling you this stuff is because you all did take the time to pray, and I appreciate it. And strokes are amazing. I found out because of the mismanagement at the VA, I've probably had half a dozen strokes in the last 5 years, little teeny tiny ones that they found out later because my doctor kept saying, oh, it's just numbness from your diabetes. It's numbness from your back injuries and neck injuries. So, by the way, I went into the VA today and fired my doctor. She's a little Chinese, Burmese lady, doesn't speak any English really. And it's funny, when I asked for the, you know, to complain, they knew right away, they're like, okay, we understand. And they gave me a standardized form, and it even said, was there a language barrier? Did she ignore you? It's like, so they know. And I'm not even going to go into the details of the frustration. When I got discharged from the hospital and went to the VA to get care, they like completely denied that I was ever in the hospital. Like, no, we didn't hear anything. I'm like, I was in the room when they called you. Gotta love the VA bureaucracy. But other than that, pay attention to things that are going on in your body. You're getting tinglings, you're getting tweakings. Go see a doctor. Definitely go see a doctor. And And also, don't give up. Don't, you know, it's like they told, you know, oh, 54% of all people that have a stroke don't survive their first one. I'm like, well, okay, whatever. And here's another issue. You know, people have been saying, well, maybe if you weren't so fat. Actually, the doctor said it had nothing to do with it. You know, great. Yeah. I know I have a keg, not a six-pack. But if they said, no, this wasn't cholesterol-related, you're a high-risk stroke victim because of genetics. What do you mean? And I've had El Doctor and a couple other people argue with this, but I'm going to tell you what the doctor said first, then we can discuss that if you guys want to. There's a scale, and people below 4 on it are hemophiliac. People above 9 are clotty and high risk for stroke. And I was like a 12-something until they started giving me aspirin and all kinds of medicine, and I got down to like an 11. They wouldn't let me leave the hospital until certain clots in my neck were dissolved, and my platelet level went down. So they were like, well, you have to have Coumadin. I go, no, I don't. I'm not taking Coumadin. If you look up Coumadin, it's the same thing that goes in rat poisoning. And they tried it again today. They're like, you need it. And I'm like, no. I'll just do aspirin and some other herbal things. So that's where we are with that. Let me see what time we get. Wow, it only took 16 minutes to describe probably one of the biggest events of my life. That's how uneventful it was. It was uneventful. Hospitals today are weird. I love the way they wake me up every 2 hours to make sure I'm resting. Of course, they had to do blood tests every 2 hours to see if the blood thinners were working. But every 2 hours, then they kept saying, you need to get more rest. I'm like, well, stop waking me up. And they'd laugh, and I'd laugh. And I got to witness to a couple people in there because they'd say, like, why are you, you know, you're in really good, I've never seen anybody in a strokey situation have such a good attitude. So I'd tell them, and, you know, like, well, my faith's in Jesus Christ. And I pulled out the Stonewall Jackson line from Gods and Generals. I said, well, I'm as calm in my bed at night as I am sitting here in an ICU worried about clots. I go, it doesn't make any difference. If I get stressed, it's not going to help it any. My faith is in Jesus Christ, that there's a plan. And so they sent a counselor and a social worker to talk to me. And they go, well, what is your religious belief? Are you a Jehovah's Witness? I go, absolutely not. Oh, who's calling me? Let's see here. Who do we got? No, it was a text message. I don't know who text messaged me. Let's see. Wow, that was really loud. Oh, it's okay. I can't read it. That's the other thing. My eyesight got real. I have no idea. I can read it. I'm just saying it's something that's not related to the show. But thank you, though, for wanting to read it, guys. But anyway, they sent in counselors to ask if Stacy was beating me, if Lou was beating me. First, they start out, how many steps do you have in your house? Because, you know, they want to know if I'm, you know, they wanted to give me a walker, and I said, absolutely not. I have a cane that I usually use when my back goes out and the sciatica kicks in. But they're like, all these questions. You a Jehovah's Witness? No. Then why aren't you wanting vaccines or meds? It completely offended the doctors, I think, that I didn't want to deal with their stuff. And I said, no. And it was cool because I had a friend from church there, and he actually threw him out of my room. He's like, no, we got it taken care of. We'll take care of him. And they're like, okay. But they're like, you need some kind of counseling? Why don't you? I refused a couple vaccines. Mm-hmm. Also, the flu and pneumonia. And they're like, but, you know, you need to have these. I did take, those of you that are going to say, well, he's like this, become this like health nut. I did a tetanus. I did an update on the tetanus because I'm always playing with nails and barbed wire. So, you know, I'm intellectually straddling the line there. But I've never had a problem with the tetanus vaccine. But and I've needed it more than most human beings I know because I'm always getting hurt. But the weird thing is when you go into a hospital as a Christian, it's going to freak a few people out. The only lady that was really a Christian was when they came to ask how I was going to pay for all this, and it came to like $48,000. And I said, well, you're going to have to call the VA because they told me to come here. And the VA says they're only going to pay for the first and second day, and the third day's on me because I could have left and gone to the VA if I wanted to. So I'll just keep arguing with them. It doesn't matter to me, but it'll get paid by me or somebody. But hospitals are indeed, as a general rule, you know, I've only been to one, two, counting the VA. They don't like it when you come in there and don't respond and think they're gods and they know everything. And it's refreshing, like the one lady from accounts payable that turned out to be a Christian, then she shut the door and we started talking openly. And, you know, I said, no, I'm not going to do this, I'm not going to do that. And then today we encountered at the VA a really not the phlebotomist, and I don't want to give her name, but she was doing the blood draw, and I said, I go, what tests are they running on me again? I mean, they've been doing my blood over and over again to see if the clots are going down, you know, the risk of clotting. And she said, well, who's your doctor? And I told her, she's like, oh, no. She goes, I love the lady to death. She's just not that good. You need to switch doctors because she'll get, you know, it's bad. And I said, what do you mean? She says, well, she's not even checking you for clots. She's just doing a sugar and iron test. And it had nothing to do with the why I was there. So I went in to see my doctor. She said, you need to do a blood clotting test and all that. So she's like, okay, I call. And then she called and ordered a different test. I'm like, no, you need to do the platelet test. You need to do the clotting test. So after going back and forth and filling out the paperwork, I got rid of that doctor, and I'll get the tests I need. But I have faith. I'm on an 1800 calorie a day diet. I said 180 calorie a day diet to the doctor, and she freaked out. But I'm doing a cardio diet that's, you know, designed kind of for this thing, but it's got a lot of foods in it that keep you from clotting. I'm amazed at all the stuff I'm finding that I thought I was healthy. Like all the stuff that I thought was healthy wasn't, and it's kind of weird. I thought all kinds of fruit juices were good for you and stuff, and they're like telling me, no, just eat the raw fruits. So I'm going to do that. Grapes. I thought grapes were good for your heart, and they're like, don't eat more than 17 grapes a day. And I was like, okay. But so we're going to get on that as fast as we can and do what we can with it. So, again, thank you. It sounds like I'm going nowhere with this, but I'm just still stunned at the amount of email and good wishes that I got for this and just the level of interest in what was happening to me. Facebook, here, church, you know. It's a good wake-up call. You don't realize how many people you affect until something bad happens to you and they step up. So it's definitely a blessing. I mean, I'd rather I hadn't had the stroke, but sometimes God has to grab you by the back of the neck and throttle you to get you to appreciate the things you got in your life. So I've been in a really good mood, especially since I got out of the hospital. It's been a laugh riot.
Yes,
it's a cavalcade of comedy, that kind
cavalcade
of thing.
Cavalcade of comedy. Yeah.
So anyway, let's get down to business here. Things are getting weird in the world. The one thing that I got to do while I laid there is I just watched different news agencies and different things, and I got to see, I finally watched Glenn Beck. I haven't watched a whole episode of Glenn Beck. People send me clips, and I had no idea how much he's flip-flopped from 10 years ago. And we did the show on Monday before I had the stroke, and then the next day I'm watching Glenn Beck live in my hospital bed, and it was exactly the same thing we did the night before. Exactly. And with Steve and stuff that I was talking about and stuff you guys are inputting in the chat room. So first I was kind of like, what a ripoff. But you know what that shows? That even the commercial markets are figuring that there needs to be even a little bit of truth out there in their garbage they put out. So that means the end result is that more people are going to hear the message, maybe get turned on to the truth, not just the diluted message like Glenn Beck gives out. But it's great. That's wonderful. So everybody's saying 3 to 5 families, long storage food, survival gardens, things like that. Get out of Dodge if you live in a city. Have cached resources, all that kind of stuff. So one of the neat things in my absence, because they knew I didn't want to go back to church on Sunday and train a class and something, they brought in a prospector, and I love this name because it's kind of oxymoronic, the Federation of Independent Prospectors. And they brought in, I don't know if he's a president or what, but he brought in all of his stuff. For those of you that don't know, prospecting is the process of mining precious minerals, everything from, and meteorites even, gold, silver. What are you doing? What are you doing? So why are you? Okay, just go ahead. Stay over there. Stay over there. We'll ask that question later. She can stay in here. My daughter Anthea is here with me, and she's just as much a ham as I am, and she's dying to get on the microphone. And I told her I'd give her a chance. She wanted to give you guys a riddle. But anyway, we brought in this guy. I can't remember his name, but hopefully he'll come back for those of you that are friends of the church. As much as I thought I knew about prospecting, I knew nothing. There's a lot of myths. There's a lot of lies. There's a lot of opportunities still there. There's a lot of laws from like the 1872 Mining Act. It blew my mind away. We also discovered, and I've said often, and you guys have heard me from this microphone say, you know, I'd like to do gold mining or panning or something. There just is no gold in our area. Well, now I know that's a lie because he showed us gold that he got in literally in our backyard. And he's got all the claims up the river that are claimable except for one, and I think we're going to take that claim. And it's going to be an effort that we do, and it's not a way to get rich. Let me say that right now. Everybody's talking about getting gold and stuff, and I was amazed. He's showing me these big nuggets, and I'm like, wow, this must be worth, like, you know, several grand. He's like, no, it's a $75 nugget. Because what you forget is that the purity of the gold in its natural form, it needs to be refined. That's the whole manner and why it's valuable. It takes work to obtain it from the earth. Wealth is either grown from the ground and crops, mined from the earth, or taken from the sun. That's pretty much the three ways to get wealth these days. You got to figure out some way to do it one of those three ways or a combination thereof. So for the price of $147 for your initial claim, you can have up to, I think you said, you can have 10 people on a claim.
I think so.
So that's 40 acres per 10 people. You know, 400 acres on a claim, each doing their own part of it. And it has to be legal and you have to do it. And then every year you pay a processing fee, a filing fee, and you can keep that land. Now, you can't go put a hotel on it. You know, you can't put structures on it, but you can put mobile homes on it, move them around. What he does is he builds dugouts in his. He goes underground and puts his stuff under there and does that. And then he mines. This guy does everything, you know, even digging the shafts in the side of there. But the point of it is, and the reason I'm bringing it up, it is a perfect way to keep the government out of your business. Here's what he does. I said, yeah, but you get the gold, you got to take it to an assayer. He goes, but the law is they don't need to know who you are. But the risk is they know you don't want the government to know, so they may rip you off. So what he does is he takes that whole thing out. He takes the gold. He'll take $10 worth of gold, put it in a baggie full of sand, go to a precious metal show or a swap meet or sell it on the side of the road, sell the sand for $10. So he's getting his $10 for the value of the gold that day, depending on what it is. The person then takes that baggie home and practices what? Gold panning. And gets the gold out. Either sifting, gold panning, centrifuge, whatever, mercury extraction. There's so many different ways. But so then the public has gold that the government knows nothing about. He's got an FRN, or he prefers silver coin. But if he gets FRNs, he goes and he buys silver coins. And the reason he said this, he goes, silver coins are more transferable, and he believes silver is about to make a really huge jump. He says, gold will too. He goes, but silver is a consumable precious metal. They destroy silver every day in manufacturing. So silver may become not more valuable per troy ounce, but more valuable than it is now. So he's highly recommending that we get gold, convert it to silver. Because I thought, let's just get the ingots and make it ourselves. Plus, when we come back, we'll give you a little quiz and see if you can answer this. What weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of gold? You'll be thinking about that one. What weighs more, a pound of feathers or a pound of gold? And we'll be back after the break. This is the Rejuvenated Dutch Jones on the, what's the name of our network? Stronghold Radio Network. And we're not at Camp Kuia right now. We're closer to the VA hospital, for obvious reasons, for a couple days. But we'll get back up to Camp Kuia as soon as we can, and we're going to keep transmitting. Again, we'll be back right after the break.
It's the source of all inflation and the reasons why your ends don't meet. Our founding fathers wrote our Constitution, which states that only Congress has the right to print up dollars backed by gold and silver, which guaranteed the future would be bright. Then Congress signed a contract with some banksters. This happened back in 1910 plus 3. Well, those banksters said, we'll guard your gold and silver and issue paper money for a fee. Paper money, bogus money, it's been proven throughout history. that deceives you while it bleeds you as it leads you down to tyranny. So now we've got this private corporation which calls itself the Federal Reserve, whose purpose was to strangle our great nation and plunder from us wealth they don't deserve. Now those banksters sit on top our gold and silver, then warn us not to practice guile or greed, and then charge us compound interest on some paper which they print up any time they feel the need. Paper money, worthless money, it's a nation's curse since times of old. Things won't ever get no better till we make the Fed give back our gold. Those banksters talk about a new world order and why the USA should play their game. Well, let's throw those traitors out and lock the border before we only have ourselves to blame. Paper money, funny money, it's a ticket stub to tyranny. Gold and silver is the answer. It will reinstate our liberty. We the people have the power. We can reinstate our liberty. We can reinstate our liberty.
When the crash does come, when there is a natural disaster, during civil unrest, the last thing you want to be is a refugee. So check out DutchJones.info. That's www.DutchJones.info. We have the supplies you need and the information you will need. That's www.DutchJones.info.
We're back, and you're listening to Stronghold Radio, coming to you somewhere in Central California, but in spirit from Camp Kuya. I'm Dutch Jones, your feeble, humble host for now. Feeble and humble host. Wow, I'm glad to be back. It's live. It's a Monday, 28th of March, 2010. If you're listening to this live, you can call in. Talk about whatever you want. We're talking about a little bit about gold right now. What's the number, Lou? Give it to me. 559-346-8362. And Lou's putting it in the chat room there. If you're listening on something else, if you're listening via Scotty Radio, Channel 2 on the CB, you can call in. Chat room's always a good place to put questions in there. And I was talking about, for the break here, some things, but I want to direct your attention to DutchJones.info. Lou has put up our special of the week. We've got some Bulgarian load-bearing gear. We had offered it before, sold some before. People seemed to like it, and then it ran out. Well, we just got a batch of it. I think we're only going to have like 8 of these. But if you make a $25 donation, a minimum of $25 donation, you will get a set of this Bulgarian gear. Now, Lou found a great video where, like, some teenage kid, 11-year-old kid, who's reviewing it, and I really liked. I just played the audio for me, and he's reviewing the gear. It comes a little backpack. It's cotton. It's not Velcro. It's not snaps. Huh? Yeah, all the gears on the little kid. But take a look at that. That's something everybody needs to have. It's got like a 13-inch deep backpack. With some, it holds AR-15 mags. How many was in the ammo pile? I think it said 4. for Mags. So check it out. And if you make us a donation in this next week of $25 or more, we will send you. Like I said, for some reason I spontaneously grew a mullet. So you can take a look at that. Stacy's hiding in her t-shirt. She doesn't want to look at it. So anyway, check that out on the page, special of the week. We're going to try and rotate those out every week. Before the break, we asked a question. I'm going to let my daughter ask it again. Come over here, Anthea. Stand right over here and ask the riddle, but don't answer it.
What's heavier, a pound of gold or a pound of feathers?
So we put that out there. Minuteman gave the same exact answer I did. He said he said, to answer Minuteman's question there, the answer that I gave was that they're exactly the same. It doesn't matter. But then we found out that gold, after rose, is measured by a different standard. So a pound of gold is only 12 ounces. A pound of feathers is 16 ounces. Even the ounces are different. The ounces are so different. I can't remember the exact number, difference in grams. The U.S. government has manipulated gold since Roosevelt made it illegal and then later Nixon made it legal. And what they wanted to do was manipulate the values of it and all that. So a pound of gold is not 16 ounces. A troy pound, I guess is what you would call it, because they use troy ounces, is only 12 ounces. So a pound of gold actually weighs less. But it's, the reason I bring that up, and the reason that the teacher brought it, or the instructor brought it up in the class, is that it just goes to prove to you that, you know, nothing is ever what it seems. And when you apply logic to some things, it may escape you just a wee bit. And so you got to pay a little bit of attention to the fine print. And I was talking about when you cash it in. If you bring in gold that's 95% pure, they're going to pay you 60 to 70%. There's a bite on every level of it. That's why he was saying, don't go to an assayer, just sell directly to the public so John Q. Public can have access to gold. The problem there is if you don't have the equipment to assess the value of the gold, you may be deceiving somebody. So I don't have an answer for that, but I'm really looking forward to it, especially as part of my rehabilitation to go out and what's the word I'm looking for? I could go out and fish and sit on the edge of the river, be outside and fish and not get any exercise. Or I could go out with an entrenching tool, some 5-gallon buckets, poke around some rocks in the river, dig out some soil, take it home. We all sit down at a baby pool and we pan for gold. Great family activity. I'm getting exercise. I mean, getting the food from fishing is good too. We could fish at the same time and take turns. But I think this is an answer to a problem I couldn't figure out because I don't have the money to buy precious metals. I can't gold at $14,000, $1,400 an ounce. That's 3 months of our pay that we bring in. That's just for us, you know, from the government, from the VA. So I can't buy an ounce of gold, but we could get this gold. We work together. It teaches Lou a nice little work ethic. Plus, it builds some bonding with the folks at church. Because I think what's going to happen, and I recommend you guys look into this. Prospecting, we're going to get our own claim about 7 miles away from the church. Plus, on private property, we can do as much as we want. Now, those of you that remember dredging, there's a moratorium on dredging right now. And the difference is that it's for federal land. And they're talking about in a year lifting the moratorium because it had to do with messing with the fish and all that. But you take a big vacuum cleaner, you suck up all the dirt, and then you use different mechanisms to get the gold out. But at $1,400 an ounce, even getting little amounts of gold by gold panning and stuff is now worth it. There was a guy on the San Joaquin River, they said, was it 6 months ago? They got 130 ounces of 95% gold. Hello, you're live with Dutch Jones. Who are we talking to?
Are you on the air?
Yes, I am.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry, man. I was just wondering where you were.
We're down in the valley. I had to go to the VA today, so we're staying in Sangerville tomorrow morning.
Okay. I was just checking to see if you were all right.
Well, I appreciate it, brother. Thank you.
All right, brother.
My new ring was loud. Okay, talk to you later.
All right, bye.
Another indication of the blessings we're under. A lot of people checking out where I'm at. But, let's see, where was I? Oh, but you can take a dredge on your own property. So our pastor, whose property is on the Kaweah River, owns to the middle of the river. So they're going to take a little dredge out there and piss off the hippies. Excuse me to use foul language, but they're going to make the hippies mad. Angry, so that'll be good. But any place that there's public land, with few exceptions, you can go in and do a scouting, see if there's gold, and if there's gold, then you go down to the BLM. You have 90 days to put a claim on it, and it's yours for 1 year from September 1st. They don't do from the time you do it, their calendar year. So every September 1st, you have to file. September 1st at noon is the deadline. And to file initially, it's $147, maybe $150. But after the first year, then it's just like $120 or something. But this guy, you can have up to 10 claims as one person. You can have up to 10 people claiming adjoining properties. I know this sounds evil and I wouldn't do this, but you can get mining claims on private property if they don't have the mineral rights to it. I would never do that without the permission of a property owner. But we're surrounded by BLM and forest property, and it would be great. You have to put four posts out on the four corners of your claim, paint them white, and put the paperwork there in each post at a can or something so people can find it, and it's your mining claim. Now you have right of access to it. The federal government can't stop you. You have to do, I can't remember what he said, there's a minimum amount of improvements you have to do to it every year, like digging and maybe, you know, putting in a temporary structure, because you can't put foundations in or anything. You can put like those temporary sheds, trailers, skids. And like I said, this guy, he just puts dugouts in really nice, and he camouflages them so people won't know what they're doing, and hides his gear, and, you know, it's, he doesn't leave really valuable stuff behind, but the basic stuff you don't want to haul out. No, I don't mind. It's fine. You can watch TV. But it's something that I looked into in my 20s in Colorado and forgot about it when I came here, because I just assumed it wasn't legal anymore. But prospecting is a huge way to make money, get a chunk of land to be able to put some cash on it. I mean, not cash money, but caches. And we've got, at the end of our road, there's a tungsten claim that may be up. And there's a gold claim up there that may be up. And then there's one area that hasn't been claimed yet, that there's been some gold found there that some of the local old-timers go up there and get it. But we're thinking if we put the claim on it, I highly recommend you guys look into this before they change the laws. Because I have a feeling that if you've already got a claim, it'll be grandfathered. But if not, at least you'll have a place. Everybody's saying, how do I get some land somewhere? How do I do this? How do I do that? I think this is a way to do it. I think this is an alternative for those of us that don't have $50,000 to go get 10 acres. Put a mining claim on it. And guess what? It doesn't have to be gold. It can be quartz. It can be tungsten. It can be silver. It can be copper. It can be gravel. It can be gravel. And so you can put these claims on it. And what's happening is big corporations, foreign corporations, are doing this on our federal property. So you, by not taking advantage of this or allowing foreign companies to come in and take our minerals out. Now, there's probably a huge fee they pay to the Department of the Interior and all that stuff. But he says most claims in America are held by large corporations, Canada, Japanese, stuff like that. And sure, they hire Americans to work them and things, but no. So I think this is a freedom that we're not exploiting. This is an opportunity that we need to pay attention to. And as time goes on, I may even have the guy on the show, because he only lives about 10 miles away from us down the hill, more like 15. But I think it would be really good to explore this more. And it was a pleasant surprise to come to church and find out about that was going on. So I wanted to share that with you. More stuff on what's going on around the world. People keep asking me all my opinions and what do I think of it. It's all the same stuff. It's still moving towards a massive third jihad of Islam. They're just taking over all the African countries, and we're helping them. We are. We're definitely helping them. The rest of the New World Order stuff is moving for World War III. So it's kind of funny how it's the great third jihad and World War III. Radiation stuff, people are asking me about that. My brother in Colorado calls me at 6:30 a couple of days ago. I can't remember what day it was, Friday or Saturday, and says, you need to stop changing the channels, Anthea, and just pick something and stay with it. And it's distracting, that's all, Anthea. It's hard for me to – I want to watch TV. and said that his radiation gear there went up to 65. Now, I've talked to you guys about it before. My information is really limited on it, just from the military and things that I've read. Anything over 30, 35 is cause for alarm. Colorado's always high. There's always like 25, and they have this massive background radiation just from, I don't know if it has something to do with the uranium and stuff there, the mines. But he was really scared. It went up to as high as 73. Where he was living, and I said, just stay inside. He goes, should I give my kids the pills? I said, we don't know what kind of radiation it is. Stay inside. And we still don't have an answer as to why the radiation went up. And then yesterday I see that Vegas got, you know, a spike in safe radiation. To me, that's like saying I safely shot you three times instead of five. I don't know if there's a safe level of radiation for the human being, you know, if it's needed for... to digest or something. I'm sure if El Doctor was around, he could give some advice. But it's surprising to me. Here we've been fine. We've been looking online. There's a network of them. I've told you. I put that stuff in the chat room. A small number, like 8 or 9, is very common. It got up to 25 one time. And we're like, wow, that's kind of high. And then it dropped down. Now there's a margin of error on a lot of these Geiger counters. Of, you know, anywhere from 5 to 12. But I don't know. It's just kind of weird to me that we're seeing a spike in Colorado but not here. I don't know how the weather could take radiation if it's from Japan. I don't think it's from Japan. I'm almost wondering if our government is doing some kind of testing under the guise of this. Hey, let's release a little bit of radiation here, see if they notice it, see what the effects of the food chain are, and we'll just blame it on the Japanese. I don't think they're beyond that. You know, right now I'm a great big conspiracy guy when it comes to a lot of things. But it is strange to me that we're seeing these little spikes, Las Vegas and Colorado. And then last night there were UFO sightings in Colorado. So the government's definitely doing something. By the way, I'm not crazy about UFOs. I think it's just the government or demons. But weird stuff going on there. Firearm stuff, we've got to keep our eye on that International Arms Limitations Treaty that Hillary's, you know, courting and in bed with. Don't forget about that. Don't let all these distractions take your eye off that one. Keep calling, keep writing, keep doing what you got to do to make sure people know about it. Educate your friends. We're in a good harvest season right now. There's so much ugliness going on that just about everybody you know is going to have some kind of pet thing that you can open the door on them with. Where they're going to go, you know what, yeah, I don't like that. I don't like how they're doing this. I don't like how they're doing that. So, well, you know, they're coming after you. Whether they're a farmer, a hunter, you know, there's so much going on in our own country. And I don't think we're very far from seeing the rioting in the streets. Look what happened in Britain yesterday. They came out in protest, all the people that are supping at the trough of public handouts. We're mad that they did cuts to social welfare and to education. They came out, what do? They burned things. They stormed things. Everybody said, well, it was just the anarchists. No, it wasn't just the anarchists. They're threatening, the anarchists and the Muslims both are threatening to attack the royal wedding that's coming up. I tell you how much I know about it. I don't even know who's getting married, so it's a royal wedding. They're getting threats for that kind of garbage. The teachers and civil service employees are protesting in America now. It's starting to get ugly. You people have got to start preparing for what's going to happen when riots break out in your community. Lou found some great sources today. Go ahead, post it. You've been waiting to post it in there, haven't you? Lou's got some great sources in there on what to do if there is a riot. It's like a $75 book. I think we're gonna get it. We'll take a look at it. Lou says he wants to buy it, and we'll see what it is. And because it's one of the weaknesses of this show, I don't talk a lot about urban survival because I don't need to. Do it myself, so I don't focus on it. I'm very realistic, very plain, straightforward stuff. I've got ideas. I got things that I've shared with you. But I'm seeing food riots. I'm seeing teachers rioting in the streets. I'm seeing illegal aliens rioting when things happen there. Welfare riots when they cut the money part. They'll keep giving them food stamps because that's so they can print whatever they want. But when they run out of the backing for the FRNs, that will stop. But the USDA will keep giving out food stamps because they've got to keep getting stuff from the farmers that are subsidized. And the farmers have to keep farming so that they can pay for the seeds that are subsidized. It's all a vicious cycle. We watched a great show the other night. It was on Fox. It was called Freeloaders. And it was John Stossel?
Yeah.
Was it John Stossel? I can't remember if that's his name. And it was amazing to me. This guy just exposed just from the lowest level guy on the street all the way up to federal programs to himself, who was a benefit of the flood in federal flood insurance. Just the amount of waste. This country has gone so far into handouts and socialism. To say it's not communism anymore is to lie to oneself. It's to lie. I bet Russia is less communist than we are. I bet China is less communist than we are, period. So this is creating a perfect storm, folks. When they pull the carpet out from under all these pigs that survive from handouts, they're going to get violent. And we need to keep watching what's going on. And now more than ever, be ready. Some of the other stuff that I was looking at that I want to talk about, I don't see how much time I got. I got about 9 minutes. I think I'm only going to do an hour today. This is getting a little weird. My face is getting, seems like it's getting more numb. I'll do an hour today. Make sure you guys tell our good friends at Liberty Radio. I thank them for their kind words, their advice. They sent me some advice on herbal stuff, so that's magnificent. But our next Code 20 training is April 9th. It's going to be airsoft related. We're going to do squad movement stuff. We're going to do building entries. I'm really hoping I can get them for some more time. They only come up for a brief amount of time. We need to spend more time doing this. So you've got my advice to you is YouTube is full of this stuff. I got in there just to see if there's a couple videos I could show. And I typed in, like, small unit tactics, and hundreds of things came up. Good things that other militias did. There's documentaries. There's military stuff. That's all you got to do is get that on there and practice it. You know, the wedge formation, the peel center, peel right, mountain man. Minuteman knows what I'm talking about. It's the same stuff I'm going to be teaching these guys, small unit stuff. I think more now than ever that's going to be critical, because how are you going to get through a crowd of angry people if you can't concentrate your force and everybody moving together at the same time without having to use verbal commands because you've trained it? And when I say small unit, you, your wife, and your two kids and your neighbors, that's small unit, or even just you and one person. Escape and evasion is going to be critical. Start looking into escape and evasion. Start looking at stashing things everywhere you're going to be that takes up your time, because the odds are that's where you're going to be. It's like this weekend, the weirdest thing for me was to be in a hospital and unarmed without a gun. Yeah, it was freaky for me. Not that I depend on chariots and horses. My faith is in the Lord, but I was like, okay, I'd walk in a room. What can I use as a weapon in here? Because you never know. Huh? My head, pretty much. I could use my IV stand, like a bow staff. But it's critical that we secure all areas that we're going to be. I know your kid's going to school. You can't, you know, give them a gun to go to school. But do what you can. Prepare them for what you can. These riots, the New World Order is not just going to leave these in Africa and Europe, folks. They want these riots to come to America. They want to break the back of the American economy and the will of the American people to have faith in their government, which is easy for me, and faith in their institutions so that they'll fight. Period. So if they can anger teachers and communist socialist worker unions, next it'll be the social classes, and they'll start class warfare, the proletariat versus the bourgeoisie. Same old playbook. So start studying these small unit tactics, escape and evasion stuff. We're going to be talking about this more often. What's this? We're actually just going to do an hour today. Why don't you call in, if you could call in tomorrow. Yeah, we'll let you know as soon as Lou gets it. We're waiting for our payment to come down. There's a few things we got to get. Poor Stacy, she wanted another pistol, went down to get it, and because her birthday, California voided her driver's license, even though she renewed it, but they said it's going to take 2 months, 3 months to get her driver's license. Well, now it's 6 to 8 weeks. She can't go pick up the gun because the driver's license she had isn't valid anymore, even though she has an extension that the DMV gave her. The reason is, and this is what we think they're designing new driver's licenses. We think the new ones are going to have the chip in them. So anyway, a little off on the side there. So they're doing stuff to restrict us. It's going to get harder to get guns, going to be harder to get ammo here. Keep an eye on the horizon. Keep an eye on what's working and what's not. And start networking, folks. I know there are people sitting out there that haven't done anything I've asked you to do. I know you're there. I know that procrastination is an evil, evil sin. Please, please, do something tonight, to make sure that you will survive. Even if it's just getting a map out of where you live and looking at the best ways to escape. Even if it's going just going out to the garage and looking through your camping gear, do it tonight. Lewis and I need to go through our gear. Stacy needs to go through the supplies in the kitchen when we get back up there. We need to make sure our filters are working. Oh, and I hope my brother's listening. I'm glad you got the filter. Batfag, as soon as we get back up there, which will be tomorrow, we think your payment will be in the mail. We'll order your filters. Thank you for ordering 3 filters. Obtain equipment with what resources you have. Trade, barter, double up. If you can't afford the stuff, you know you need a water filter, but you can't afford the $75. Is that what we sell the cheapest one for? Go with 3 families. A bucket water filter, 5-gallon bucket water filter, does 500 gallons a day. It will service 4 families, you know, on a survival level, no problem. So one family buys the filter, one family buys the stove, one family buys the solar panels to charge the batteries, one family buys, you know, the implements to cook the food. That's what you do. That's you know, good economy of resources. Don't let things slow you down. Don't let things scare you off. Don't make excuses. It's funny. Somebody said, you know, well, you have, now that you've had a couple strokes, you have an increased chance of having more strokes. So, and you could die, you know, within the next year. There's like this statistic. I don't remember what it is. They're telling me. I'm like, I don't really care. I could get hit by a meteorite tomorrow, hit by a bus, shot by a stray bullet from some Mexican gangbanger who's pissed off because somebody threw him out of a party. It doesn't change anything. Every day I'm going to put forth the same effort that I put forth on it before. In fact, even more now. Because here's my focus. What if I'm not around? Murphy's Law. I got to make sure that my wife and son, because they're the ones that live with me 24/7, know where everything is, know how it works. Not just where it is, but that you do it. That you do it. So this is going to be the new Dutch Jones post-strokey. A little happier, a little more forward. I'm not going to take a lot of excuses from people anymore. Sunday was fun at church. I'm not saying I'm insulting. It didn't like turn me into a jerk. Don't think that. But, you know, people are saying, well, I can't go to the training because I have to do this. Okay, I guess survival's not important to you.
Stupid non-strokey
yeah.
people.
Yeah, I don't understand non-strokey people now. There's 2 kinds of people in the world. People that have survived a stroke and everybody else. It's like recovered alcoholics were annoying. But I kicked this stroke in the butt, not because of anything I did, but because of prayers and God. And I took that as a sign that I need to try harder and I need to share with you a lot more of the basics. And just remember, every day is incredibly precious. You don't know when that tap's going to come and you're going to end up in critical condition. But on the other side of it, okay, my face is numb, my tongue's a little weird. So what? It doesn't change anything. I can still pull a trigger, I can dig a hole, I can train people. It didn't take me out of the fight. This didn't even slow me down. In fact, it's probably going to speed me up because I realize, hey, I better try a little harder. So, folks, especially those tuning in for Liberty Tree Radio, I'm only going to do an hour today. Take it easy coming back. Tomorrow we will have Steve Klein. He's going to another protest tomorrow, folks. Another protest. We're going to talk to him live on the air. This time, because it'll be me and him, he can actually walk around. You can hear him while he agitates. It'll be awesome. Ooh, that fish looks good. We're having some baked fish. Is that chicken? Yeah, I don't know, chicken or fish. We're trying to eat healthier here. Keep your cards, count your cards and letters, advice, any dietary stuff you know of, herbs you know, that are good for blood thinners, because I am not taking the rat poison that they want to give me. Folks, this has been Dutch Jones from Stronghold Radio, post-strokey Dutch Jones. Thank you for tuning in. And as I get better and my voice gets a little better, we'll do Owen. Okay, Anthony wants to say goodbye. So I'm going to have her, and Lou wants to say goodbye too. You don't want to say goodbye?
Goodbye, and remember that the sword is heavy and the battle is hard.